Good evening and welcome to the Ask Weldon Joe episode 244. Today the title of the show is Optimizing Pizza Delivery and Helping Teammates Communicate. And we're also going to talk about vomiting. So interesting show today, specifically vomiting after meditation. Interesting show today, fun questions. I hope that they're very entertaining. Updates. It's been a couple days since my last show. I am still at the TSM house, training them, preparing for the semifinal game versus Cloud9 this weekend. By the time you watch the show on YouTube, probably it will already have been resolved. This is the Ask Weldon Show, which is a show where you ask questions about sports psychology, esport performance, life performance, whatever questions you think are pertinent, and I answer them with my own experience and also my expertise as a sports psychology trainer and my background in sport, Masters of Science in Sport and Exercise Psychology, Masters of Sport Sciences specifically. I have a mindfulness-based performance enhancement program at mindgames.gg/MAC, and so I also have a background in mindfulness training. Not trained very much in mindfulness, but I'm an amateur novice. This is above amateur, but not advanced yet. That's what I am. In mindfulness training, I think I'm pretty decent. Considering it's the format that I've trained most of the pro teams that I work with in. And for this show, you can ask your question by going to anchor.fm/weldongreen. And the URL is anchor.fm/weldongreen. And calling in your question, when you go there on your phone, you will see that it gives you the opportunity to have a very radio-esque voice. So as you'll hear the questions today, they're coming straight from Anchor, and it sounds like it's not coming through some little cheap phone microphone, but rather coming through some sort of radio DJ kind of style microphone. It's not that everybody who calls in has a $100 microphone. It's that the algorithms that this website uses to make your sound sound good, even though you're on your phone, are pretty cool. So if you ever wanted to sound like a radio DJ or know what you sound like on the radio, now's your chance. Call in your question. I'm just a couple days behind on questions right now, so it'll come in the next week probably if you call it in now. And no other further updates. Why don't we get into the first question of the show? All right, so this question is from Saw, as in the past tense of C. I don't actually have a question panel for it, sorry.
Hi Weldon, I've been a fan since about 2015. I wanted to call and thank you and then also get your thoughts on me using some of the skills that you had helped teach me in esports and apply them, because you are a sports psychologist. I believe that your philosophies and your practices can be applied to different sports and athletic activities. And I consider my job to be one of those. I'm a pizza delivery driver. And it's a little funny to me, but I like to think of it as having a skill ceiling, where pizza delivery is not an incredibly difficult job, but I found myself, thanks to you and other motivators, that by keeping my body healthy and by practicing, you know, good mental habits, like understanding the layout of my city, going as fast as I can, running when I can, I get good exercise and I in turn make more money. So I wanted to thank you, and I also want to get your thoughts on what I can do to improve in this type of job, if you'd be happy to.
Okay. So, first of all, very interesting question, and I'm glad that you called it in. It's nice to have kind of like a variety of things to talk about on the show, and certainly performance of all aspects are very much tinged in the same principles that I'm dealing with on a daily basis. And, I feel bad for plugging the audio of all the questions, then you call in when you're driving around in a car. And it sounds pretty bad, but okay. Thanks for that. Anyway, so related to your question, which I think is how can I work to improve my driving, essentially, or how can I improve my performance in my job? I think the main thing is to start with purpose. Like, that's what I always start with players. And understanding the why of what you do really allows you to tap into kind of the reasons that you're modifying your practices around it. So if you, for example, have a tough day of dealing with customers or a tough day of dealing with work colleagues, or your car breaks down, or you're feeling tired in particular, you need some sort of motivation or some sort of reason that you are hustling, that you're making your body healthy, for example, is a good one. Or some sort of reason that you are delivering pizzas faster than other people. Like, let's say you go back and your coworker who delivers pizzas slower than you gets a big raise and they fire you. What is the overriding purpose besides, for example, impressing a boss or getting a raise or improving your health? I mean, maybe impressing a boss so you can get a raise is a good one, but I think that that's like, less resilient. Certainly you get, I think you mentioned in your question, you get paid per delivery. So in terms of efficiency, it's kind of within your own hands there. But I want you to understand, outside of the specific consequences of getting it done faster and then making more money, what sort of long-term plans can you attach to the acts that you're doing besides just like the simple outcome of winning and losing in the short term? The reason this is important is because what I have found with optimizing behavior around my life and around hobbies and habits that are kind of tangential to the thing that I'm manipulating. So for example, you're manipulating your health, you're manipulating your honor, you're manipulating your like sense of self-worth, your driving skill, for example. And in the short term, you are doing that with pizza delivery, and maybe later it'll be with another kind of delivery, and maybe later it'll be as a race car driver, and maybe eventually it'll be as a bus driver when you're taking your kids on a field trip or something like that. But it's helpful to have a long-term kind of connected philosophy so that when, as motivation goes up and down and up and down, you can still keep working on your health, or you can still keep working on your driving, or you can still keep working on whatever it is you're kind of like tackling, because your why is intact. And it lends a greater intensity to the mental resilience that you have to overcome on a daily basis. So, for example, I'm sitting here in training and one of my players does something good. And then the game gets really, really hard and they can't do that good thing. So the thing I'm most concerned about is not whether they did the good thing one game and didn't do it the other game. It's that they're connected enough with the reason why they're doing that thing, what their purpose is, that when the game is hard, and the thing that they're doing is a sacrifice or takes a lot of effort, but they want to put in that effort because they want the thing in the long term. Or they want to live out that style of play or that way of being a person. So it might not win them the game, but it's how they want to lose the game is important. So they would rather lose the game doing the correct thing than lose the game just like by not trying, right? Play like a champion, lose like a champion, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that because it sounds like you have a lot of other motivators and you have a lot of kind of like little hacks and ways of optimizing things, and it sounds to me like you have plenty of exploration in that way. So I would say having value-driven goals connected to what you're doing that give you purpose outside of the job and the money and the year that you're living right now is probably the most important thing that I would kind of square away. So yeah, thanks for the question. Glad we got to delve into the philosophic. Since you are doing so much of your own work on the side, kind of dealing with the figuring out like how to optimize stuff in terms of, you know, health, nutrition, and mindfulness, etc. So sorry for the yawn. Let's jump into question number 2 from Nicholas.
Hey, Weldon. I recently started meditating, and
another one in the car, Nicholas.
Or more so, has happened
killing
to me,
me.
Is if I feel bloated at all. So, like, I had a little too much tea one day, and like today, as in a couple minutes ago, I had some like chili cheese fries or something, and I was like just a little bloated, but after meditating I had to vomit both times from just like overeating or overdrinking a little bit. Is this normal, or is it something I should be worried about? Because, like, I normally don't throw up that much. You know, I'm not, like, quick to throw up. All right. Thank you. I know it's a weird question.
All right, Nicholas. Thank you very much for your question. So, it's not normal to throw up when you are doing mindfulness or doing Vipassana meditation in this case. But it is not out of the realm of things that happen when you're doing Vipassana meditation. And certainly if you search nausea while vomiting, you'll find a number of people talking about their stories of the induction of nausea from meditation. Nausea then resulting in vomiting. So the first thing that I would try is do mindfulness with your eyes open. There's not really anything special about having your eyes shut, aside from the fact that it makes it easier for you because you can focus on sound. You can really like tune in to that, and just you're eliminating some senses, right? You have taste, touch, sight, sound, smell. You're just eliminating sight, which is a huge one. You can focus on just sight, or so you can smell, taste, touch, sound. Not really so much taste, right? And not really so much smell, probably. Although if you're vomiting, maybe a little too much smell. I don't know. Anyway, add sight to it. See if you can see it to make sure that it's not like a dizzying thing. It's not related to your inner ear at all. And it's more related to like your body. Okay. And then there are like certain scents that help with nausea. I'm trying to remember the ones we use with my wife when she's pregnant. I can't remember them exactly. You don't want to find freaking... Maybe you do, I don't know. I'm not talking about essential oils here specifically, but I am talking about there's specific smells that midwives have been using for a long time to help control morning sickness with women. And those might help. You could rub some on like your upper lip. You just get a little bottle of them, make sure you have it. Like help you get through mindfulness up until a point where this is not happening anymore. It seems from my brief Googling that this is like something that happens to some people who are beginning to do mindfulness. But it doesn't seem like something that happens to advanced practitioners unless they're having some sort of like LSD-style episode where they have like some sort of internal existential crisis. But anyway, yeah, I would not necessarily run off to a doctor, but I would not say that this is like a normal thing, but it is within the realm of what is possible with mindfulness. So it's not like dangerous, I think, in any way, yet. But keep an eye out, you know. And yeah, just pay attention. Pay attention, ask questions to yourself. Ooh. Sorry, it's very late here. It's like 1:15 a.m. Ask questions of yourself and Google on the internet for other people's experiences of this and see if you can find the people to commiserate with. I'm sorry that you've had that experience, but I hope that get through it. It's not unfamiliar that there are bad side effects of things that are good for you. Drugs have bad side effects. Cognitive therapy, like psychotherapy, talking to therapists, for example, doing cognitive behavioral therapy, acceptance commitment therapy, have bad side effects. They can include things like depression, destruction of family relationships, loneliness. The side effect of treatment for depression can include depression. True. It's not like things are a panacea and you only get good outcomes from them in the short term. And there could be things that are like negative in the short term in terms of like things you experience naturally when you're trying to do good for yourself. Like feeling crappy after you exercise, which most people take as a good thing, but it is technically pain and discomfort. So anyway, thanks for the question. Before we jump into the last one, I want to talk about my Mac program. It's my training program that I'm turning into an app, and you can check it out at mindgames.gg/MAC. Right now, it's 47 online videos, kind of like an online course. Each video includes a lecture, like a mini lecture, with slides, only slides, actually, I'm not even there, it's just my voice, and a mindfulness training session, so seated mindfulness training, which is based on Vipassana meditation. That is, a daily thing. You're supposed to do it 7 weeks, 7 days a week. And finish the program. And it is essentially mindfulness, acceptance, commitment. So performance-based Sorry, mindfulness-based performance enhancement. And right now, it's one price forever. So I made this program because people were asking me, hey, Weldon, what is it you do with the proteins? What is it you do with the proteins? What do you do with the proteins? Help, help, help. We want access. And so finally, I just made this course. And I was like, here, this is what I do with the proteins. At the basic level, like this is the orientation, you know, the first stuff that I do. And so I just put it up on the internet for $25 to support me and to support it. And I'm taking all of the revenue from the sales of this program, and I'm basically using it to develop an app, which is going to deliver this program in a better way than just an online video course. So if you purchase it now, that's where the money goes. And then you will get access to the beta when it launches, and then the new app forever after. Although the price model then when I launch the app is going to change. For new users, we're going to have to pay subscription because obviously apps take maintenance work to sustain, etc. And server costs and all that sort of stuff. Sorry, I'm going to cough. Well, next time I'll mute my microphone. That did not help to push it away to the other way. Anyway. Yeah, so make sure you check that out. And if you want to support this program, you can check out the course, or you can go to my Patreon, patreon.com/mindgamesweldon, where I just started and finished, not really finished, but I'm on day 3 of publishing about my 5-day fast. So if you're interested in things like fitness or fast, that is the place to check it out. That's where I kind of plan to put content on my little Patreon story about my daily gym, daily nutrition junk. What I used to do with my Snapchat story and my Instagram story, which I'm just way too busy to maintain anymore. Should we do the last question? Teammate communication, you guys. Let's jump into it.
Weldon, my name is Enoch.
And hey, Enoch.
My question stems from playing Overwatch, but it pertains to any game chat. When playing competitive, oftentimes I'll try to lighten moods by saying good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, and try to help levy stress from previous matches or to boost confidence in reserved or timid people. Now, if someone is audibly angry or hostile towards a teammate, I'll try to make them acquiesce by suggesting they ask for help or to give the team a plan they'd like to follow. I understand that the person has unreal expectations for a group of random people, more than likely, though I'd rather the person become more relaxed so they stop dropping morale and so that my actions might actually raise it instead. Anyways, what I'm asking for is how to better communicate with teammates so I might help resolve these really high tense emotions from people, and to help, you know, more reserved people speak up. Thank you.
So I've met two other people named Enoch, and they were both from Utah. That's why I'm guessing you're from Utah. But given that it's not a family name, but a first name, I could be way off on that. So if you're from Arizona or something, I hope the weather's nice there. Because I hear the weather's amazing in Utah, so you're missing out. Your question is, how do I communicate with teammates to both help them through these high-stress situations, and the second part was, I forget what the second part was, but yeah. Essentially, and I only forget because it's 1:30 a.m. when I'm recording the show, so that's kind of like why. But I tried to not drink too much caffeine so that I wouldn't up all night after the show recording. Anyway, the number one rule for when you're working with teammates is, and the second part of your question was like, how do I help them figure out that they want to change and improve, stuff like that. The number one rule when communicating with teammates is always to try to find the thing it is that they want to hear rather than that you want to say. So first of all, disabuse yourself of the notion that you're going to kind of bring anybody to any point that they aren't already ready to go in an online video game. So you're not going to be trying to help enlighten them or move them in any way. What your job to do as a leader is to like satisfy them for what they need right now, how they want to get their physical, mental, and emotional needs satisfied by you. And one of the ways that you can do that is by taking your own desire for victory or any sort of like outcome at all and offloading it, just being like it's over there, and instead focusing on the teammates and just serving them and giving them what they need, whether or not it's going to help you win or not. Like maybe a person just needs uplifting, then you would uplift them. Maybe the person needs protection, then you would protect them. Maybe the person is bad and needs to feel good, and then you would praise them. and none of this stuff is really relevant to you winning or losing in the short term. And in fact, it may be detrimental to your winning in the short term if you're spending too much time like talking with somebody about their past and it's affecting your ability to play the game that you are in as a team member with them. But if you want to do this right, you're going to have to take a long-term kind of view about that. So you're going to want to say, like, what is it they need to hear from me today? What are their mental needs, their emotional needs, their physical needs, and how can I help meet them? If for example, you were in a store and you saw somebody just, like, flipping out and, you know, I don't know, yelling at somebody while you're in front of them in line, I don't know, at Starbucks or something, and they're, you know, flipping out and yelling at somebody or on the phone, or just clearly they're acting out in a way that is saying they're having a bad day or they're having a bad time. You have no idea what's happened to them in their life. You know, maybe they had a family member that died. Maybe they were abused when they were young and they had to take care of their, this is the case of one of my friends, abused when they were young and they had to take care of their, like, four or five younger siblings and basically raise them because they're alcoholic single mother, you know, who's addicted to drugs and had a bunch of other boyfriends, like, didn't bother to raise the kids, and so the oldest person did, and then now they're kind of, like, not a very well-functional adult because they're trying to... They had to be responsible from the age of, you know, 12 for a bunch of kids for 10, 15 years, and now they're just trying to, like, recapture their identity of who they are. Anyway, you have no idea about other people's lives. So the most important thing you can do is try to figure out compassionately what it is that they need and try to serve that to them. And you do that by engaging with them, talking with them, asking, giving, doing servant leadership, paying attention to their cues and protecting them from, you know, from the environment, whether it's another teammate or their own identity crisis or opponents who are ragging on them. And yeah, that's kind of, I don't know, that's like the golden rule for me. That's how I determine how to gauge my behavior on a game-by-game kind of teammate basis. I just ask myself that question, and it helps guide my actions of what to do next in a pretty straightforward way. So I think the answer is pretty simple there. And then as far as, like, moving people, you just got to get your agenda for them out of your head. Don't worry about that at all. You are just one little blip in their life, and you should be the best data point that you can be as far as blips go in their life, and that'll be a much better impact than you can have in terms of anything aside. That is the best impact that you can have regarding that facet of self-development or self-improvement, to be a very good witness or data point. You want to mentor somebody, you've got to have a long-term relationship with them. Build rapport, build their trust, build their respect, and then cash it in for, you know, asks like, please do this, it will help your life. Meditate every day, stuff like that. But yeah, like I said, to do that authentically requires commitment to somebody and for somebody. So thank you for your question, Enoch, and thanks for calling in. Appreciate everybody who calls into the show and contributes. If you're not going to buy the Mac program and you're not going to join my Patreon and you're not going to sub to my Twitch channel, then calling in is the number one thing to do right after that list, because your contributions basically make the show exist and have caused it to go for 244 episodes. And it is those questions which fuel all the very interesting things that I have to say that make the show possible to do at all, and that inspire me and interest me and push me to keep reading and keep learning and keep practicing so that I be a better trainer for all of you as well. All right, thanks for tuning into the show. Make sure you check me out live every single weeknight and weekend and night sometime. Supposed to be at 6:30 or 7:30, but since I'm in LA right now training, it is really wonky all over the place, if at all. But anyway, if you go to my Twitch, twitch.tv/mindgamesweldon, and follow, you can turn on notifications and you'll know when I go live, problem solved. Otherwise, in about 4 or 5 weeks, I will be back in Finland, and it will be at 7:30 p.m. LA time every single day, and we will do the show. See you then.
Bye for now.